Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over this long period of time, we've been studying together and thinking together from a section of the New Testament called the General Epistles. This is a name we give to them because they seem to have a common theme. These books would be the book of James, the books of 1 and 2 Peter, the books of 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude. Now, I want to point out that these books were written at different times. James was the first book of the New Testament to be written in 45 AD, just 15 years after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of the Lord. Whereas the book of Jude, the book we're now studying, was probably written in about 75 to 80 AD. The books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John were written about 85 AD. 1st and 2nd Peter, of course, were written much earlier. They were going to be written, 1st Peter was written probably in 60 AD, and the book of 2nd Peter written in about 65 AD. So they were written at different times, but they have generally the same theme. And the theme is this. The means of salvation, of course, never changes. The means of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not anything, not anyone else, not anything else, not anyone else, not our churches, not our ceremonies, the ordinances in my church, the sacraments in your church. Nothing will help us go to heaven except the Lord Jesus, our Savior. So the means of salvation is very, very clear. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that faith is in the Lord Jesus alone as our Savior from sin. Not in the church, not in anything we do in the church, not in anyone else at all to whom we might be tempted to look for help, but it's only in the Lord Jesus our Savior. So if you've never made this decision, you need to make this decision for Christ. Bow your heart before Him and say to Him, Jesus, I come to You alone. You have said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. I come to You now as my Savior. I'm trusting You in my heart. Please come into my heart and save me from my sin. I'm a sinner who needs You. Come and save me. You can pray it in any way you like, but it should be a heart decision before God. Now, so these books are not talking about the means of salvation, except for 1 John chapter 5. That passage does. But these books are emphasizing what happens after you are saved. In other words, you're saved eternally, of course. But is there any proof in your life that you've ever been saved? You may say you're saved, but is there any proof in your life? So these books are asking that question. Now, the book of Jude is especially dealing with those who distort the truth, even the most basic truths of the Christian faith. Now, God's Word has the truth in it. The books of men do not. These people come knocking on your doors. They're the false teachers. They can creep into your churches even, pretending to be Christians and so forth. I've dealt with this before, and I don't want to go into this deeply with you again. But these books are talking about now the proofs of salvation. So in the book of Jude, we have come to the matter of apostasy, the departure from the faith. And we've gone through this book with you, and I don't want to go back into these sections again, but these false teachers are everywhere. They're especially denying the essential doctrines of the faith, and the one that they especially like to prey upon is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. In other words, they're trying to deny that He is God. They're trying to deny His saving work. They're trying to somehow change the truth of the Word of God into, I can be saved through my works, just do good, love other people, and so forth, and I can go to heaven. And this, of course, is against the teaching of the Word of God. Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ because I am a lost sinner needing a Savior, and I trust in His finished work for me. Now, we came down in the last lesson, and I want to continue this today. We came down to verses 17 to 23 of this book, how we can guard ourselves as we live in the faith. We're taking a stand for the faith. How can we guard ourselves against false teachers? Verse 17 has this to say, Beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, their sensual having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, now this is the passage I want to come to, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life, and if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now, I want to stop our teaching right there. If you go back to 2 Peter, you go back to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 has this to say. 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at the last verse, verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there are two things here that we're to remember. First of all, we're to call to mind the teaching of the Scripture themselves, the warnings given by those who were led by the Holy Spirit to write down the Scriptures. These false teachers are going to try to lead us away from the Scriptures into their own teaching, to their own ideas, into their own speculations, into the writings of their founders. All of them have some kind of writings. One false cult, for instance, says, well, you cannot understand the Bible if you study the Bible alone. But if you study our Scripture teachings, then you can understand the Bible. So they want to sell you something. They want to give something to you. They're Scripture teachings, in other words. That's what they call them. And so, in one way or another, the false teachers denying it. So, first of all, you're going to remember the warnings that were given you, the teaching that was given you in the Word of God itself. I want to urge you, if you desire to know the Lord Jesus, if you desire to follow Him, concentrate on the Word of God itself. There are many helpful books, don't misunderstand me, many helpful books that you can read. Books about marriage, about the family, books about life and so forth. The most valuable book of all is the Word of God itself. Concentrate on the Word of God itself. The second thing that you need to emphasize in your life, and that is that you need to concentrate on being built up in that faith. There are some of you have been Christians for a long time, and I say this very respectfully and very kindly, but you would admit you have never grown much in the Lord Jesus. Now, you're not in the realm of Satan anymore. Let me be very fair about you. You're not in the realm of Satan anymore. You love the Lord Jesus basically in your heart. You go to church faithfully and so forth, but you've never really grown much in Him. You don't read the Word of God daily. You're not walking daily with Him. You don't daily express your love for the Lord Jesus, your devotion to Him, your commitment to Him. In other words, you're not walking very close with the Lord Jesus. Now, newborn Christians, those who've just been saved, they are told, desire the milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. So this admonition is for all of us, whether it's 2 Peter chapter 3 or whether it's this passage in Jude, we are to be built up in our faith. We're to be built up in our faith. This is very important for the Christian life. Let me give you several suggestions concerning this matter of being built up in the faith. Four essentials. First of all, we are to be built up in the most holy faith by in our walk with the Lord Jesus Himself. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 to 6, live in me and I in you. Those first phrases are the ones I want to emphasize. Live in me and I in you. It was your walk with the Lord Jesus, your love for Him, your devotion to Him, your willingness to make Him the Lord and the King of your life, to follow His will no matter how it might lead you, no matter where it might take you, to absolutely follow the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Himself said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, for instance, just one verse there, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, concentrate on me. So that's the first thing about being built up in the faith. The second thing is praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit, but we pray in spiritual ways. That's what He's teaching here. We pray to the Father, of course. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, but we also pray by the Spirit. The Spirit helps carry our prayers up to heaven. The Spirit helps interpret what we're really trying to pray. Sometimes our prayers are very confused. A child, for instance, might pray, have some earnest, desperate need, and might pray, and his prayer might seem a bit confused as far as the language is concerned. But the Holy Spirit takes the desire of that child's heart up to heaven, to God, and the Holy Spirit interprets it. And then, of course, we're to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now, this could be interpreted as teaching that as they've been saved through the mercy and grace of God, they're to walk in that love and be completely dependent upon it in their Christian lives, in their salvation, even as they were in their salvation. We're dependent upon the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus. But this is the idea of living in the love of God. It's not just depending upon the love of God, but living in the love of God. Again, those words, which I've used once or twice before in this series of studies. 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ compels me, constrains me, drives me on. That's the idea of verse 14 there. Drives me on, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, that they who live would not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Now, let me go back to those first few phrases. The love of Christ drives me on. What does this mean? Is it just remembrance of his love? Is it just appreciation for his love? No. His love can fill my heart in myself. I may be selfish, I may be self-centered, but his love can fill my heart and lead me on in the Christian life. Help me to reach others, in fact, flow out through me. I think that's what he's talking about here. They're to keep themselves in the love of God. It's the idea that let God's love control you. Not only you're saved through his love and his mercy and his grace as he reached down and sent the divine Son of God down to die for you, but now you can be filled with his love. You can manifest his love to other people. You can show through your lives. He takes away our selfish natures, our self-centered natures, and he gives us instead a genuine love for other people, a humility in reaching other people with the gospel. And then the fourth thing that's going to happen here, they're to wait expectantly with deep desire for the eternal life that the Lord Jesus has given them. In other words, this is our goal in living our lives. Our goal, first of all, is to live out our lives to his praise and glory. Let's not mistake this now. We're not simply laying down and looking forward to heaven itself. We're living out our lives. If you're a child, if you're a young person, if you're a young adult, you may have years and years and years ahead of you should the Lord Jesus tarry his coming. He could come at any time, but he may not come even in our lifetime. And so you're living out your lives to his praise and glory, but you're also making heaven your main goal. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, he talks about this, the fact that absent from the body, present with the Lord, the apostle is going through his terrible trials. He's been through beatings and other things, but heaven is his goal. I'm serving the Lord faithfully until I die, of course. He had many years to live. He was not going to die until about 66 A.D., so that's 18 years after he wrote this book. But now he's saying, I look forward to heaven itself. I'm looking forward to the time when I'm going to be with him forever in heaven. So we set heaven as our goal. And we concentrate, of course, on spiritual things as we wait for heaven. So these instructions for being built up in the faith are very, very important for every Christian to understand. Now, I want to come down to the last little section here, and then our lesson is going to close. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Now, let me just say a word about this benediction, and then we're going to close this series of teachings. And that is, in this benediction, it's a fact that we are in the hands of God. This is a benediction. It's a benediction of praise to his name, exalting God himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's exalting them in our lives. But it's wonderful to know that we're in his hands. No matter what our circumstances might be, no matter what difficulties we might face, no matter what persecution we might go through as we live the Christian life, praise God, we are in his hands. We're completely in his hands. We belong to him. We can trust him completely with our lives. I've never been in a very primitive situation. I look back over nearly, in fact, the 10th of this month. It'll be 56 years as a missionary. 56 years ago, February 10th, 1953, I was accepted as a missionary to the Philippines. And as I look back, I have never been in what we call very primitive situations. I can't recall any very dangerous situations. But like all of you, I have been through difficult times. Young people go through difficult times. Older people go through difficult times. Even children do. Sometimes there is sorrow, there's other difficulties come. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can trust God with our lives? And God has had to remind me of this again and again. I can trust Him absolutely with my life. He not only has called me to serve Him, first of all to belong to Him and then to serve Him, but now He protects my life. He cares for my life. He will provide for my needs and everything. So we don't live in greed, we live according to need. In other words, when we need something, God gives it to us. He doesn't feed our greed, what we desire and want, as other people in the world want and desire certain things. But He does meet our needs, and He's taken care of us all along the way. In the worst of circumstances, He's taking us through. Where God promises in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, "My grace is sufficient for you." This is verses 7 to 10 now. "My grace is enough for you. I will carry you through." So I want to encourage you Christians, as we have studied these books, let there be proof in your life of your salvation. In other words, yield yourselves to God. You who truly know Him as your Savior, yield yourselves to God. Let there be proof come out in your lives of your salvation, proof to God Himself and proof to others that you really have known the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if there's no proof in your life, I would urge you at least examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And then I want to urge you to go on in the Christian life. Be built up in the Christian life. Take a stand for the Lord Jesus. Be unashamed of Him. Stand against false teaching. Stand for the faith. In other words, contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That's the theme of the book of Jude, which we have just studied. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And I would urge you, read again and again these books and meditate upon their teachings. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you go on.